Editorial note. Given Kane's complete and typical lack of interest in anything that doesn't concern him directly, the following extract may prove useful in placing the rest of his narrative in a wider context. It must be said that the book from which it comes isn't the most reliable of guides to the campaign as a whole, but it does, unlike most studies of the Gravelax incident, at least attempt to sketch in the historical background to the conflict. Despite the author's obvious limitations as a chronicler of events, his summing up of the casus belli is substantially correct. From Purge the Guilty, an impartial account of the liberation of Gravelax, by Stententious Logar, 085.m42.
The seeds of the Gravelax incident were sown many years before the full magnitude of the crisis was realised, and in retrospect it may well be easy to discern the slow unfolding of an abhuman conspiracy over the span of several generations. A historian, however, has the perspective of hindsight, which, alas, cannot be said of the actual participants. So, rather than pointing an accusatory finger with righteous cries of how could they have been so stupid, it behooves us more to shake our heads in pity as we contemplate our forebears blind stumbling into the very brink of destruction. It goes without saying that no blame can be attached to the servants of the Emperor, particularly those concerned with the ordering of His Divine Majesty's fighting forces and the diligent adepts of the Administratum. The Ultima Segmentum is vast, and the Damocles Gulf an obscure frontier sector. After the heathen Tau were put in their place by the heroic Crusader fleet in the early 740s, attention rightly shifted to more immediate threats. The incursion of High Fleet Leviathan, the awakening of the accursed Necrons, and the ever-present danger from the traitor legions, not least among them. Nevertheless, the Tau presence remained on the fringes of Imperial space, and, all but unnoticed, they began once again to encroach on His Divine Majesty's blessed dominions. Up until this point, Gravelax had been an obscure outpost of civilization, barely noticed by the wider galaxy. Enough of its land masses were fertile to keep its relatively sparse population tolerably well fed, and it possessed adequate mineral reserves for such industry as it supported. In short, it had nothing to attract any trade, and an insufficient population base to be worth tithing for the Imperial Guard. It was, to be blunt, a backwater, devoid of anything of interest. If Gravelax thought it was to remain undisturbed indefinitely, however, it was sadly mistaken. Within a century of their drubbing at the righteous hands of the servants of the Imperium, the black-hearted Tau were back, spreading their poisonous heresies through the Gulf once more. When they first chanced upon Gravelax, no one knows, but by the turn of the last century of the millennium, they were well established there.
837.M41, according to surviving records. Like many amateur historians, Logar is long on rhetoric and short on actual scholarship.
It will come as no surprise to my readers, aware as we must be of the innate treachery of all aliens, that they had arrived at this pass by an insidious process of infiltration, and, shocking though it is to record it, with the willing assistance of those whose greed and thoughtlessness made them the perfect dupes of this monstrous conspiracy. I refer, as you have no doubt already guessed, to the so-called rogue traders. Rogues indeed, who would place their own interests above those of the Imperium, humanity, and the Divine Emperor himself.
Several paragraphs of inflammatory but non-specific denunciation of rogue traders omitted. Logar seems to have had something of an obsession about their untrustworthiness. Perhaps one owed him money.
How and why these pariahs of profit first began trafficking with the Tau, history does not record.
Or Logar couldn't be bothered to do the research.
What is certain is that Gravelax, with its isolated position on the fringes of Imperial space and close to the expanding sphere of influence of these malign aliens, became the perfect meeting place for such clandestine exchanges. Inevitably, the corruption spread. As trade increased, it became more open, with Tau vessels becoming a common sight at the new and expanding starports. Tau themselves began to be seen on the streets of the Gravalaxian cities, mingling with the populace, tainting their human purity with their soulless alien ways. Heresy began to run rife, even ordinary citizens daring to use blasphemous devices, unblessed by the tech priests, supplied by their insidious off-world allies. Something had to be done. And at last it was. The rising stench of corruption eventually attracted the ceaseless vigilance of the Inquisition, which lost no time in demanding the dispatch of a task force of the Imperium's finest warriors to purge this festering boil in the body of His Holiness's blessed domain. And that's precisely what they got. For in the vanguard of this glorious endeavour was none other than Caiaphas Cain, the martial hero at whose very name the enemies of humanity trembled in terror.